The Dawn Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Braden, welcome to the Dawn Stensland Show. I must tell you, I'll never forget the day my kids told me that one of their friends at a different school, a kid who they played sports with, apologized in school, was forced to apologize in school for being male. And I said to my sons who were in middle school at the time, you will never apologize for being male. Never, ever on my watch. So I love that you wrote, that you're writing this book, that you and you're following in your dad's footsteps to really fight this good fight, because it's horrible what has been done. Thanks for being here today, Braden.
Thanks so much for having me.
Absolutely. So take me through it. First of all, embrace masculinity, lifting men up in a world that pushes them down. When did this begin for you? Because we, of course, know your famous father, Kevin Sorbo, Hercules, as they say, Hercules, when I guess your dad really made a living, if you will, as an actor of being that manly man. So for you, when did you begin, at what age, notice that that there was this, I don't know, something different going on with regard to men in America and how you're viewed and treated?
I would say probably my senior year of high school. I was 17, turning 18, and I sort of looked around. And I went, "Holy crap! What is going on out here?" You know. So it wasn't this immediate kind of change within myself. I guess it was more of a gradual increase. And by the time I turned 21, is when I finally felt adequate to start tackling these issues. I mean, I'd had a social media platform that had been growing ever since my high school senior year, but it wasn't until, like I said, 2021 when I started to actually tackle these men's issues to my audience of about 2 million followers, which I was blessed to have.
Yeah.
And it's been a great journey since. I mean, I started writing the book about a year and a half ago, and now it's done and it's finally coming out. And in it, we discuss, I mean, pretty much everything that society can throw at us. I talk from the pharmaceutical industry to the dating world, you know, with pornography and apps like Tinder, with social media, with the importance of fraternity, having good brothers that you can have around, the importance of having a mentor, someone who's older than you, who's been through the trials and tribulations of life, who can kind of walk you through these steps and help you grow. And so it's been a blessing. Unfortunately, I wish that this book didn't have to be written, but Here we are.
Yeah, and so, you know, all of these terms that were hurled upon society and all of us, like toxic masculinity. So are you trying to just create some new terms in your book, or what's your focus here? As you obviously, you have a great audience, a great following, as you've said, millions of followers and the next generation, if you will. But what kind of things, when you hear the term toxic masculinity, and it's still out there, what comes to mind?
You know, toxic masculinity is kind of an oxymoron, because masculinity itself isn't toxic. A lack of masculinity is. And so society has told men that their natural inclinations, which are to protect and to provide and to be responsible for more than just themselves, they've told them that those inclinations are wrong. And so for us men, we begin to replace them. And a lack of masculinity is shown in dominance and oppression and controlling, manipulative behaviors, kind of things like that. And so what we're noticing is a lot of young men are almost refusing to grow up. I call them the Peter Pan, Neverland, Lost Boys. You know, they're over on the island and they're remaining infants, essentially, because it's easier than kind of fighting back against this oppressive system, which is exactly what the system wants, because it's, you know, it's not a matter of if there's going to be a good guy or whatever leading the charge or whatever. It's if that person in charge is going to be a good or a bad ruler. And in the case of times recently, at least most of the time, it's been a bad leader. And a bad leader doesn't necessarily want people to rise up against him, people to fight back. And so he suppresses them, giving them bread and circuses, or just flat out destroying them. And we're seeing that with men today, where they're, instead of being raised to lead the next generation, to lead their families, their communities, their churches, their country, they're told that everything that they would believe is wrong, and they are suppressing it and being unable to kind of take care of those around them.
Yeah, and so a couple of things come to mind as I want to ask you about. First of all, I started out with talking about, you know, boys in school. I think there's a real problem right now in education. And so the leadership and the policy of this administration, of President Trump, really matters. He was just here in Philadelphia, where I'm broadcasting from. You probably saw it with the NCAA. I mean, just a booming standing ovation. My own son, who's just in high school right now at jiu-jitsu last night, like, they can't get enough of it. But I want you to talk about, if you would, Braden, talk about the education world as far as schools. And then I wanted to ask a question about the dating world and meeting people, and how there's this divide with young, you know, teenage girls and college age young women. And they seem to be skewing more liberal, but young men your age and, you know, early to, you know, you're 23, may be skewing more conservative, and how that impacts you.
Yeah, so when it comes to the schooling and the education dilemma, I mean, I was a homeschool kid. My mom pulled me out of public school at second grade, and I went through that homeschool ringer until graduation. But it is the only method that I see for, unfortunately, you know, dealing with little boys especially, but just children in general. I mean, I plan on homeschooling all of my kids. The problem with the school system is what just the problem with society in general. I mean, mainstream narrative is what is affected by the media. And so, as you know, with my dad's show Hercules, that had a great impact on a lot of people. It was a morally upright and just show. And we don't have things like that anymore. I mean, the media is full of soft and sometimes hardcore, you know, pornographic scenes in movies and degrading content and things that are overall devaluing to one's kind of soul. And so it is showing itself in the school system. I mean, people always wonder why there's so many atrocities, like shootings happening in schools. And it's because they took religion out. They took Christianity out, and it's going to be replaced with Darwinism. And so if a kid spends his entire life being told that life doesn't matter, that there is no inherent value, and that it's survival of the fittest, he's going to act accordingly. And that's a terrible, terrible thing. But it's something that could be easily avoided. And thank God that President Trump is taking some steps to kind of remedy that with banning men in women's sports and defunding the Department of Education. I mean, these things are not necessary to the betterment of our history and our survivability as humankind. It's a good direction that I see us going now.
And as far as faith, do you want to make faith cool again for especially men, but young people? I mean, I see all the, you know, Mark Wahlberg, he's somebody who says, you know, stay prayed up, and they imitate him. But, you know, to make praying or faith cool again, is that something that you believe in?
110%, without a doubt. We're seeing this massive revival, actually, within the United States to faith, specifically among young men. It used to be that women were overwhelmingly in the church, but the past decade or so, young men have been returning to Christianity, more so Catholic and Orthodoxy than regular Protestantism, but nonetheless Christianity. I mean, I was raised non-denominational Protestant my whole life, and even I'm switching over because I'm seeing this almost lack of responsibility or lack of caring about deepening one's faith within the Protestant denominations. And so we're getting this kind of revival to order and tradition and the importance of those things, because guys inherently realize, I mean, we are ordered creatures. Guys are you know, if you ever tell your husband a problem because you want to just tell him a problem and have an ear to listen, and he just starts explaining what the problem could be fixed with, that's just how guys are. We want to solve things. And so we have this kind of return to tradition and order within Christianity that's bringing men back in droves. And it's a wonderful thing, because that is going to be the most effective stage in turning this battle.
And so when you think about President Trump right now, I've got to ask the political question, that we have a new day in America as far as making America great again. So is this a movement to make America manly again? You know, and is Trump at the top of the ticket, if you will, in a political sphere, making it acceptable or cool to be any kind of man you want to be, whether that's manly or whether you want to cook, whatever you want to do? What do you see there with politics, Trump, and today's man?
With politics, I think it's a wonderful thing. I would wholeheartedly agree that it's bringing back kind of this almost unchivalrous businessman approach, where it's, I'm going to take care of the people that are within my country first. Those are who matter. first and foremost, as they should, and that's how it's going to be. You know, and so, yes, it is kind of this return to this. Honestly, it's not even really a return. It's more of this new groundbreaking, because politics has been so cut and dry with snakes and, you know, people being so fake and putting on these personas, that having someone like President Trump is refreshing.
Yeah. And so, final question here, Braden. The book, I just can't wait to get it. It's Embrace Masculinity, Lifting Men Up in a World That Pushes Them Down. But is this book also about lifting up and celebrating girls and women and what it is to be female? Because I imagine that it does in many ways. The way I see this, and like I said, my youngest son, a teenager in high school, part of this whole thing, there's a bigger, broader picture that has been just to, I think, take apart the traditional values, the American family. And so by taking down what it is to be a manly man or what it is to be a woman, at the end of the day, there's an agenda to take it all down. So is that something that you deal with or talk about in your book?
Yes, I cover every single topic imaginable. The book is, I like to call it a handbook or a guide for men in America. And at that same, you know, on that same token, it is also a checklist for women. You know, if you're ever talking to a guy or dating someone, you can see, does he meet the criteria mentioned in this book? It doesn't have to meet every single thing. No one's going to be perfect, but it is a good point of reference, so to speak.
Right. Well, listen, we hope you come back. What a great book. Braden Sorbo, just, I imagine your dad and your mom are just bursting with pride over the book that it's finally out there, and just your role in society now.
Yes, thank you. And for anyone who wants to get themselves a copy, they can go to Sorbo Studios, my last name, studios.com, and I'm signing copies there. And it's pre-sale right now, so they ship out next month.
Awesome. Braden Sorbo, thank you so much for joining me this morning.
Thank you.
Don Stensland from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.